Life is hard. You work and slave. You dig and dig.
Hello, welcome along to the News Podcast. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Adam Tinian. I'll be your host today. And my esteemed guest this afternoon, this evening, is Mr. William Redfern.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Bill.
Esteemed.
Absolutely esteemed.
Elder of our borough.
For those that aren't sure or haven't seen what we kind of record in conjunction with, the podcast is recording in line with Seaside Sessions, where we post nearly daily videos, music videos to our Facebook and YouTube and whatnot. And I've had Bill in, of course, twice now with two of your three bands,
yes,
I believe.
Yes. You're greedy, aren't you?
I think there's a third one booked in as well fairly soon.
Yes.
So today we're just going to go through a few different tracks that you've kind of put together for us, and talk about you. Mm. One of the most interesting characters I've had in sessions so far. So you're not local to where we record, right? From Canada. Are you from Manchester? Is that right?
Originally from Nottingham, and okay. Then Manchester, and then London, right. And ended up in Whitstable. Fortunately, okay. When Whitstable was very cheap.
yeah, it's
1991. It was really, really cheap.
Oh, good timing. I like it. And so with regard to the different bands that you're in, I mean, how has this all happened? How has your life led to this path?
Well, it's a long, long story. So at the very beginning...
We've got time.
I started playing music I had my first guitar when I was 13, so 1973. So okay. I'll give you all a minute to work out that just how old I am. Yep, that's right. And I went through the usual things of playing guitar and, you know, wanting to do it. But at the time thinking, you've got to be really, really good, haven't you, to do this? You've got to be Carlos Santana, or you've got to be Yes, or Neil Young or something. You've got to have all this talent. And then I had a bit of a moment. 1976, I saw Dr. Feelgood in a small club in Nottingham, and I saw Wilco Johnson hammering away at a Fender Telecaster, and it was so exciting.
Yeah.
And then that was the kind of the dawn of punk, really. Right. So 77, I was 17, and suddenly it was possible. It was possible to... You didn't need to be a virtuoso musician. You just need to have a head full of ideas. So suddenly it was all possible, which was great for me, and great for me socially, and brilliant being 17. Not so good for my A-levels, of which I have none. I didn't actually even turn up for the exams. I did 2 years, and I didn't turn up for the exams because I thought, yeah, I don't need this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to play in bands. I can't believe I had that much self-confidence. Somehow at 17, I was... But anyway... So I did that from sort of 17. My first band, Art Failure, we had our first single out in 78, which I discovered about 5 years ago, is available on eBay for about 50 quid.
So
you mean, it's astonishing that it went off and lived its own life.
So you mean you were signed?
No, this was the great thing about punk was it was the dawning of the indie label, and we had our own label.
Fantastic.
And we bought a single out, and Nottingham was getting tricky. It was a bit limited, so we got a chance to move up to Manchester. So we moved the band up to Manchester, most of the band, and we became The French, and we had a couple more singles out and did Radio 1 sessions and stuff, and had that almost moment, but not quite.
Right.
But in those days, of course, you had to have a record contract, really, although there was the... In order to...
I suppose the pre-internet world is...
Yeah, absolutely. The last year of it, we spent so much time trying to write a hit single. We kind of lost our souls a bit, I think. And anyway, that all fell apart in the 80s. A classic tale of sex and drugs and rock and roll. I could do an entire podcast on the terrible folly of youth. Anyway, that all sort of fell apart, and I ran away to London, intending to get another band together.
Yeah.
And... slipped into the world of work. I got a job in Arprice, make ends meet, and slipped into the world of work. And I don't know, trying to get bands together, it never really worked out. And so by 1990, I'd kind of turned my back on the whole thing. I told you this was a long story. We have got a four-hour podcast, yeah, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I did nothing then for 20 years. I did no music at all and missed it every day achingly. But I thought, it's gone, it's over, it's finished. And then in about 2005, a friend of mine who does stand-up comedy got me doing stand-up comedy, and I got that bit of limelight back again.
Fantastic.
And I did that for a few years.
That must be tough. Is that?
Oh, really?
Did you just jump into that in 2005 with no previous experience?
I went in for a comedy competition. First ever gig was the first round of the Laughing Horse comedy competition. And yeah, it's a very, very, very steep learning curve.
I can imagine. I mean, I've heard comedians talking on other podcasts and things, and they often say, you know, with comedy as opposed to live music, if you mess up a note or something, you can kind of run with it, or you mess up a lyric. What are you going to do if you mess a joke?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's been incredibly valuable.
Right.
Because I've learned how to cope with just a room full of people just staring at you, looking at you to say, what's he doing? What's he talking about? Why? Why is this? Anyway, so, but that kind of, you know, that brought me back to, I thought I would never do music again, and I still missed it. And I used to have dreams that the band had got back together, and I'd wake up so happy and then crushed as I realized it was a dream. And it was excruciating. And then turning 50, I was spending too many, the job I was in, I was spending too many mornings waking up thinking, oh, another day.
Right.
And I just realized, I don't know how many more days I've got. I don't want to wish them away. I don't want to not enjoy waking up. So my wife and I, we have no children. The mortgage was paid off. And we just said, okay, let's just change our lives. Let's do what we want to do instead.
Fantastic.
So we both kind of took some sort of early retirement, cashed in what we could. And so the last 5 years, then after about a year of doing really nothing much, I happened to meet up with Chris from the Silent Companions and Ren from the Silent Companions with the Whitstable Fringe. Mm-hmm. Through them, I met Mel from Gypscaz, and Gypscaz came about. And it's all just snowball. And I do sometimes think that I probably had a terrible accident about 5 years ago, and this is a coma. And everything is just an hallucination. And at some point, I'll come out of it and I'll have to go back to work.
Yeah.
But no, it's just been a joy, actually. Fantastic. It's been a wonderful thing. So yeah, that's the short answer.
Okay.
To the first question.
So I know of you in two bands, obviously the Silent Companions and De Chapeau, which you came in with as well. Just so talking, I mean, what I loved when you came in with the Silent Companions about a month ago from the date we're recording today, is you said to me that this was like, it's like the first band that you'd form in high school.
Yes.
You know, you don't think about what direction you want to go in. You
it's just find three mates. I mean, it stemmed from doing the Whitstable Fringe. We did sort of musical things within the Fringe, as well as putting on loads of other events and those other people. And it kind of grew from that. And it's Chris, Ren and I, just three friends, put a band together playing what we can play. Chris is actually a fantastic saxophone player and clarinetist, but he plays some piano, so he mostly plays piano. Ren is fairly new to bass and drums, but, you know, took to it like a fish to water. And I had discovered the ukulele, which changed my life, quite frankly.
Fantastic.
because I found it to be such a great writing implement. It's got so much more freedom than the guitar.
Sure, yeah.
So it sort of came about from that. So the band just exists from what we could do.
Okay.
And we were talking before this, and I was saying, you know, that one of the wonderful things about the success of the Silent Companions, relative success over the last few weeks, particularly since winning Herne Bay Rocks, is the fact that we put no effort at all into making it commercial. It has not been remotely something that we wanted, you know, we thought about. We didn't really think anybody would like it particularly, but we liked it.
Do you think that was maybe a conscious decision based on what you said to me just a moment ago about the first band that you formed straight out of high school?
To a degree.
Do you think because you kind of lost your soul a little bit because you were trying to write
I think to a degree. I think also probably a greater degree is there are some advantages of being older. And one is you're less of a people pleaser, I suppose. I mean, I like to please people, but I recognize at my age, my ambitions are relatively limited. I'm not going to be a pop star. I can face that now. It's not going to happen, but I can do what I like. And actually, I now have that freedom of not having to think, so what will I do for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
This is it. For as long as I can possibly do it stay alive, I just want to do this.
That's
fantastic. In whatever form and however it takes me. So it's for me, really. And that's I think that's the thing that's – unfortunately, people are enjoying that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we'll get on to Gypsy Gads in a moment, the first track we're going to talk about today. But just to touch on The Silent Companions again, and something you mentioned there, the Herne Bay Rock. So just for people that aren't aware of what that is, it's a battle of the bands based in Herne Bay, which is near to where we both are right now, where we down in East Kent here. And I suppose – I must say, I wasn't aware, even living fairly, fairly close to it, I wasn't aware of Herne Bay Rocks until this year. Is it strange that a band, your type of band, won it? I mean, this is what I've been told.
We must be the oldest and strangest band to have ever won it, quite frankly.
For one, no one could classify the genre that you were kind of putting together, which I think is wonderful. And for two, like you say, you know, you guys are a little bit older, there's so many young bands and young kids that are coming through, and I just kind of feel, I mean, there was another Battle of the Bands over this summer in 2017 at Dreamland in Margate, and they specifically only allowed people in that were under 25. I know Gary from Herne Bay Rocks.
That seems like a terrible thing. Right?
Gary's a bit of an old rocker, and he's a cool sort of guy.
And
I just think it's wonderful that there's so much beautiful, eclectic kind of art in Kent now.
Well,
I think it's just wonderful that you guys have won that.
The thing that was lovely about the final was, 30 bands entered and only one came out alive. No, it was 30 bands entered, but the three finalists, ourselves, Muto and Crybaby Special, we were all doing our own thing.
Right.
Nobody particularly sounded like anything else. It was everybody was doing something original, something that they liked and hoped other people would like. And I found that very encouraging. That actually what people do ultimately like is something exciting and new.
Yeah.
People that like music do anyway. I mean, the thing is, I think people tend to get slightly bogged down with, people just like the stuff that's in the charts. Well, that's mostly people who aren't really bothered about music. It's just something that happens when you're doing something else. I think you can only really judge what is happening in music by how people that love music are responding to it. And actually, I think since the turn of the new century, I think the music scene has got really good. Personally, there was a degree of bitterness around the 90s. I turn my back on it. But to be honest, I spent most of the 90s listening to early music, Renaissance choral music, later on sort of 20th century composers, from Shostakovich and Britten going through to Berio and Stockhausen. So, I mean, I'd really turn my back on it. But at the start of this century, I started to hear things that I thought, ooh, that's good.
Yeah,
and hearing bands like Fleet Foxes' first album, which would have stood the test of time in any decade in the last 50 years, and I thought, things are getting better. I think people are becoming more interesting. Definitely,
yeah. I mean, I've seen sort of musical studies that have gone over the years and that have kind of said that music's becoming more simple. But I think I don't think they kind of take everything into account. I think from a local level, obviously this is what this is. This is the new music podcast and Seaside Sessions all about, sort of showcasing local talent. I think. It blows me away, really. At the time of recording, Seaside Sessions has been in operation for about 7 months or so, and some of the bands that have come through these doors are just blow me away with the songs that they're creating. I had no idea that there was this much local talent, and it's almost put me in a position now where, if I'm out in a pub and I just hear another cover band covering If I Could Walk 500 Miles. Mm. I want to walk out. I just want to pull my hair out.
I just want to go, why?
Why? Why? Give me something original.
Do something more exciting.
Yeah.
I know you've got to earn a living, but...
That's it, isn't it, of course. All right, let's talk about Gypsy Gads. So Gypsy Jazz. I always is it Gypsy Ska Jazz?
It is.
Is that one yes. name? Okay, I thought it was a fusion. There.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's Mel Zebra who put the band together. That's she likes joining words together.
I like it. Yeah. So The Road That Bends, the first track.
Yes. Well, this is from our new album. It is. It's actually from our upcoming album. The first album. We've had out a couple of years, and we've actually just sold out of the CDs.
Okay.
So 250,000 copies of, no, actually, I don't know how many it was, but quite a few. Gypsy Jazz was the thing that pulled the plug out of my 25 years of stagnation, really. And our fantastic guitarist David Ray, who I love writing lyrics for his songs, he writes these fantastic Gypsy Jazz tunes, and he wrote a song called "Stomping at Simple Simon's," which he's had for a long time. And I don't know, something woke in me. The lyric to that just spelt itself out, and it pulled the plug out on it. So, you know, since then I've written about 50 songs, you know. I mean, it's just sort of pouring. I don't know where it's coming from, quite frankly.
25 years of working
at HMV. It's 25 years of sheer frustration that I've bottled up, and it's just gushing out. At some point, I'll just run out. I'll just be a dry husk in the corner, gibbering. So Gypsy Jazz, and the first album was great, and later we'll have a track from that. But I wanted to have one of the new ones. This is a song called The Road That Bends, which is... I suppose it's a bit typical of how I write. I suppose much of it is a bit nicked, really. But what I tend to do is I fill notebooks continuously. I have notebooks with me all the time, and I write down phrases that interest me, things that interest me, ideas. So when I'm writing songs, I go back to those. And Road That Bends is one of those songs that I kind of had the theme of what I wanted. Road That Bends is, I think, apparently, you know, it does have quite a lot of credibility as an analogy for life within gypsy folklore, being a road that bends, which I liked very much.
Mm.
So I kind of took that and took lots of things that I've written. I mean, I've nicked bits from the chorus from William Blake, which I won't tell you about. I'll let you work those ones out. There's a quiz in here. So I glue stuff together in such a way that I feel it tells a story. I'm not that keen on writing about my own emotions.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not that interested in them, to be honest. Why anybody else would be? So I probably tell stories about emotions within the context of stories.
I like it, yeah.
Usually of other people.
Right.
Casts of characters, of things. And Road That Bends is to a degree that sort of thing. And it's about life and how it is a road that bends.
Fabulous. Let's give it a listen, I think.
If you could have your time again, what would you change?
What would you change?
What would you see?
Would you see?
Who would you be?
Who would you be?
Would you take a different path, seek different ends?
Different ends.
As you walk on the road that bends, for some are born too sweet to lie. Some are born. As we are born to curious times. If you could start your life again, remake your bed,
make your bed,
would you take back the things you've said? Would you give more time to those that are now dead? What devils lie inside your head? For some are born sweet delight. Some are born to endless night. If in your heart the flame still burns, we will walk on the road that turns. Hey!
Hey!
wait. Yes, death can wait its turn. Let's drink to that. Drink from the urn. For if I killed my demons, started new, then I might kill my angels too. For some are born to sweet delight, some are born to endless night. Will you still be there, my friend, as the road begins to bend? For some are born.
Okay, wonderful. So let's go straight in. So back into the Silent Companions now.
Yes.
The high school
yes.
band.
Yes, yeah, the high school band. The one where I'm 17 again and
it.
Thinking of Wilco Johnson. I'm playing my ukulele actually in the way I used to play my Telecaster quite a lot of the time.
Oh, fabulous.
It's, yeah, I mean, I was horrified recently in a music shop. There was a book on ukulele technique. And I was thinking, right. What do you mean technique? Just learn some chords and play it how you want.
Yeah.
You don't need a technique.
Well, I think you've got quite a unique technique.
I
love the way you perform with just such confidence and gusto.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's just...
The stand-up comedy, to be honest, has lent itself more than
really?
The past in music. Yeah.
Right.
Because it gave me that thing of having to be contained within... yourself rather than necessarily worrying about the audience,
right,
of judging your own performance, of just of attacking it, of
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
of
That's
throwing
fantastic.
Yourself in and going boss-eyed and gurning and things is all part of that. You said again, one of the advantages of being older, I don't have to look cool and sexy anymore.
Yeah, I do love that.
That option is way gone. So, you know, so I can be a character now instead.
Fantastic.
Oh, I miss being able to rely on my looks.
This is not the song we're going to talk about, but one of the ones you recorded with me, Rites of Diablo.
The beginning of it, the way
that you kind of, Diablo is coming, and then you all scream. And I love the performance as well. It's not just a song. No. But the track we're going to talk about first, Bring on the Dancing Bears.
Bring on the Dancing Bears. It was difficult picking four songs. I was just in a slightly wistful mood the last couple of days, so I've picked slightly wistful songs, I suppose. And Bring on the Dancing Bears is that. But I suppose it also... Lyrically, it pitches into something. Whilst I say I don't really like writing about my emotions, I suppose I do write to a degree about age, about old age. I've always been a bit moribundo, to be honest. I've always been a bit dark. I'm not good if I'm on my own too long, quite frankly. I suppose I do write about age, but I try not to be too bleak about it. It's just. When I was young, I wrote about being young, and now I'm old, I should write about that. And I'm lucky enough to have been part of a generation, the 60s and 70s generation, that invented youth.
No, I think you're right there.
He boldly claimed. even though young people tend to think we're just responsible for everything terrible, but actually we invented youth culture to a large degree. So I think, you know, we are the same generation that is reinventing middle age and old age,
right,
you know.
Okay.
And I like to think that, you know, in it to a degree, I am, you know, I like to think I am doing, winning Herne Bay Rocks, you know, I said, you know, this is for all the old weird people that are still out there being old and weird, you know.
I love it.
Bring on the Dancing Bears. So is a song about that, I suppose, sort of. It's about facing loss, facing unhappiness, In the second verse, I wrote it about 3 days after Bowie died. I know you've spoken to Bowie about Bowie.
Yes,
I suspect somebody will crop up as an influence.
Yeah, I think so.
For me, particularly of my generation, I think, you know, 90% of blokes of my generation were influenced by Bowie.
Mm.
And Bowie was a very significant person for me growing up. I lost my dad when I was very young, 7, and I suppose I looked around in my teens for male role models. And David Bowie was one of those people that kind of taught me to be who I think I am to a degree,
okay.
To embrace ideas and change. And so it hit me very hard losing him, and it was part of, you know, a lot of loss, I suppose, over the years. And as you get older, increase that, of course, increases. And in the second verse, there is a sort of direct link to that. The stars that shone above our heads and laid their threads are blinking out, and I kind of feel that. You know, daily I see all the people that I knew from the telly and things like that, not only within my own family, but those threads, those lights going out. And so I suppose it is about that. But that makes it sound like a terribly big song, and it actually is quite jolly, and it sounds like it's in a circus.
Oh, wonderful. You just totally switched it around.
There is. I do like juxtaposition. So.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, I think it's time to hear Bring on the Dancing Bears.
Now it's time, bring on the dancing bears. Forget our cares for a while. Turn our backs on the empty chairs and the fear that flares behind the smile. Let's not sing our song of sorrows till tomorrow rears its head, because all that we have borrowed will still follow. The carousel, hear the calliope swell to drown the doubt. For the stars that shone above our heads and laid their threads are blinking out. Let's not sing our song of sorrows till tomorrow rears its head, because all that we have borrowed will still follow where we're led. As we spin on this our purgatory, ghosts, they have come to me. As we strive to solve the mystery of how it all began. One, two, one, two, three, ha! The dancing bears and forget our cares for a while. Turn our backs on the empty chairs and the fear that flares behind a smile. Now our season in hell is done and the war is won, at least for now. Let's just watch as the horses prance and the clowns advance behind the plow. Let's not sing our song of sorrows till tomorrow rears its head, because all that we have borrowed will still follow where we're led.
One, two, one, two, three.
Okay, so we're coming straight back in with another Silent Companions track.
Yeah.
So I've got the album here, actually, Entertaining the Masses. Was this because you won Herne Bay Rocks, you were able to get the studio space? Is that what happened?
No, we'd already recorded it. And we have got a couple of days coming up in the studio, which we'll probably do in the new year. So we've got some new songs to do for that. But this was already recorded and kind of ready to go.
Okay, I see.
But part of the prize for Herne Bay Rocks, rather beautifully, was to have 100 CDs made. So
Oh, nice.
We actually got to have them made. Rather, we weren't sure. We were thinking about just having it as a download.
Yeah.
With Gypscows, we tend to sell quite a lot of CDs because we do a lot of gigs. So we sell a lot after gigs.
Okay.
With Silent Companions, gigs are slightly harder to get because we're a bit odd.
Because you've mentioned before that it's hard to classify
what
sort of genre
the band
is. Do you find that with like pubs and clubs or whatever?
It's very difficult. I mean, a place which I won't name specifically, but they have a lot of young bands on and metal bands and rock bands and all sorts. And they're quite interested in putting us on, but they send us a message saying, we haven't really got a night coming up with your sort of music. And I said, well, you won't.
No, right,
you won't.
Exactly.
But yeah, we'll fit along other things.
Yeah.
Surely people are a bit more open-minded than, you know, if I've gone along to see one band, I want another band to sound exactly like that one.
Oh, yeah, come on. You need a bit of diversity there.
Because, it's a mistake, I think. Again, maybe it's something I suppose I did in my youth was, I would listen to things that I thought, oh, that's really original. I want to be original, so I'll do that.
Mm.
Which, of course,
that's
really
right.
Doesn't work.
Trying to be unique by being like everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Actually, people are quite open-minded. And again, you know, the Herne Bay Rocks thing showed that. I think people were surprised. Certainly, in the first song, the first round, I knew what people were thinking. Here's a middle-aged man standing there. He's got a bowler hat and a ukulele. We know what's going to happen. He's going to go, yinka jinka 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 jink. And then suddenly I put my foot on the fuzz pedal and I'm strutting around like Wilco Johnson doing our delightful little song, Out Demons Out. And it was a wonderful – I shall remember it for as long as I'm compos mentis. Was people just sort of appearing and looking round at us. And
really?
Just – It was
a bit shocked, a bit what's going on here, sort of thing.
It was a surprise to everyone. And what I love with Silent Companions, as with Gypscows, is I love seeing audiences smiling to the music, and I get a lot of smiling back, and that's a really nice thing because that's a real engagement, isn't
it?
Yeah, of course.
And
people were smiling because it was surprising, and they were enjoying it. So yes, it's. It's Entertaining the Masses being a sort of slightly ironic title.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's fantastic. Well, let's go back onto the second track from the Silent Companions, third track that you're giving us overall. So
the song I've picked Tarnished Things. It's called A Song for Tarnished Things.
Okay.
And again, it's a wistful choice. And actually, it was a song which I've sort of overlooked from songs that we've been doing because we've got a lot of very rumbustious songs, some hilarious and, you know, strident or whatever. Song for Tarnished Things is a fragile little song, but it's very much at the heart of what I do love, which is Tarnished Things.
Right.
My wife and I have a love for... Or strange, worn out. Our house is full of, it's like a museum of strange, worn out, old, strange, weird stuff that we find. You know, doll's heads and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where on earth do you find these things? Boot fairs and stuff?
Boot junk shops, yeah. You know, I just recently bought this lovely this little wooden girl on like a pulley cart, and her hands and feet have come off. But as you pull her stumpy legs and arms go. She's a delight, and she's beautiful because she's tarnished.
Right?
And,
yeah.
And I love tarnished things, but I love tarnished people too. I like people that have had their edges knocked off them. People that have lived a bit. I find them endlessly fascinating. I mean, I'm generally fascinated by anybody's stories, to be honest. As a dog walker, I talk to a lot of people. I love chatting to people. And sometimes the stories and things can be seemingly quite banal, to be honest. He said in a not judgmental, and I don't mean in a judgmental way, because actually there is a delight in that.
Yeah, of course sometimes. There is
a simplicity.
Yeah.
Because every story is life. It is a life. It is people living. It's what everything is about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, and so I have this love of tarnished things, and there's a wistful sadness in it. Again, it's back to that sort of darkness of things, but there is a beauty in that sadness. I say, personally, with my family, we're a diminishing family. I've had no children. My sister had no children. My parents were only children, so I have no aunts and uncles or cousins or anything. Okay. Our family exists entirely by myself, my wife, my sister, and my mother-in-law, who is 96,
right,
and just got a speeding ticket, which we're very proud of.
Yeah, kind of good.
But, you know, I feel we are a story which is slipping into the shadows, and I don't mean that to sound as bleak as it sounds. There is a sad beauty to all of those things. You know, beauty comes in many forms, and sometimes it comes within those sadness. And tarnished things, it comes across that. And it was actually going through the CD and putting the tracks on it. As I say, you know, I tend to focus on our more obvious tracks. But this, as I was trying to download it and send it to the CD manufacturer and things like that, I find myself listening to it more and more. And there is a fragility to it. It isn't my strongest vocal performance. Actually, my voice is a little wavery in some places, but actually I feel that
it adds to it.
The song is, on the recording, Chris did a string section on the keyboards. When we do it live, it is just clarinet, ukulele and voice and the drums. And it is very delicate and very fragile. And sometimes the uke is quite a hard thing to play on the uke, and it's slightly out of tune sometimes, which again is part of that fragility. It's part of that tarnished thing. And so actually over the last couple of weeks, I've discovered a real love for this song, because I feel it is right at the heart of the things that make up life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing this. Thank you so much.
Wiping at the dirt on the window pane. Pick the peeling paper from the wall. Shaking out the dust from the counterpane. Old fox mirror glints in the hall. It's a song for the tarnished things. It's a song for the broken things. It's a song everybody sings as they long for. When the world was new, holding up the doll that is just one eye. Press the spring that pokes from the chair. Once it was the seat where she'd often lie. Now it spills its guts of horse hair. It's a song for the tarnished things. It's a song for the broken things. It's a song everybody sings as they long for. When the world was new, thank you.
tick-tock, hands stay where they are, stick stopped. Feathers from the old bird will drop. Standing makes the aching joints pop. It's a song for the tarnished things. It's a song for the broken things. It's a song everybody sings as they long for when the world was new. When the world was new. When the world was new. When the world was new.
Okay, so one more track we've got to go into. Just before we do this, I was just going to ask you about De Chapeau, because obviously that's a band. Yes. We're not representing the band at the moment, but there are videos of De Chapeau on the Facebook and the YouTube for Seaside Sessions. So if anyone's interested in hearing more of Bill, then that's there. Do you want me to ask you about that band?
Because we
haven't spoken about it yet.
That's Andrew from Gypscaz and myself. And we just did that, really. We started doing that as a bit of a busking project, really, because the two of us can get together easily and busk, and we quite often do that in Margate. Down in the old Market Square, actually, we sit on the bench and entertain the cafe dwellers at that cake shop place.
Very nice.
And they bring us free coffees and things. It's very
nice.
It's really like playing a concert, actually. So we start, and you know, it's sort of developed. I mean, I now find, writing-wise, when I'm writing, I tend to think, oh, yeah, so this song... Yeah, that would be a good Gypscast song. This is a bit dark and peculiar. That's definitely for the Silent Companions.
Right.
But I also find now increasingly songs which I think, oh yeah, that's more of a... And we've actually dropped the duh. We're just called Chapeaux now, actually. Because we are hoping to have occasionally... we've got a guy who plays tuba, which, why wouldn't you want somebody playing a tuba, quite frankly?
Absolutely.
and a guy that plays violin. So, you know, it will always be essentially the two of us, but other people might come and go.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of more of a side project to Gypscaz. But again, it's one of those things where I want to do as much as I can while I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I've missed it for so long. And I'm just, there isn't time to waste. There is no time to waste. There's no time to sit and think, yeah, well, I might do that in a couple of years. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I want to do it now.
Absolutely.
I want to do everything I possibly can now. And I was saying about, you know, having more realistic ambitions. My ambitions, generally speaking, are more about do people want me to do things? You know, that's all. If I want people to ask me to do stuff, and that's all. So, quite frankly, you asking me to do this is absolutely what I mean.
Ticking a box.
It really is.
Absolutely,
yeah, it is. You know, if people are interested enough in me to want to do that, isn't my ambition achieved? So, you know.
Well, I'm glad I could be of service.
So all
this
good.
So let's go into the last track then, Gypscaz. So, more drink.
Yes. So this is One More Drink. Now this is a bit of a phenomenon, and actually leads very neatly from Chapeaux, even though you didn't know it. there's a song we do with Chapeaux called Chapeaux, which is about sort of subtitled The Philosophy of the Dog. It's from my three beautiful dogs that I've had through my wife and I have had through our lives. And what I've learned from them, which is that there is only the moment. The past is the past and the future is unknown. There is the moment. And basically in that moment, if you've had a nice walk, a nice dinner, you're safe and sound and with people you love, then that's all you really need. It's nice to get a few extra biscuits and some other stuff every now and again. I'm not saying it's not nice to have the extra stuff, but fundamentally, those are the things. Those are the things you want. One More Drink is a song that I wrote long before that. And there is a version of it on the Silent Companions album. I've chosen the Gypscaz one because it's the one I've performed hundreds of times with Gypscaz over the last couple of years. It's become a bit of an anthem. It's a song that people think they know. I've even had one argument with the landlady in a pub we play, and she said, "Oh yeah, that song, that One More Drink." She said, "So I'm trying to think where I've heard that before." And I said to her, "No, well, I wrote it. You haven't." She was saying, "No, no. Now, where have I heard it?" I said, "No, you haven't. I, no, really? No, no." She wouldn't have.
She's adamant.
She went, and it's and it it does have that feel that you've heard it before. I've seen, you know, we play gigs, and I know there are people that have never heard it before, and they're singing along with the chorus from the first chorus. Right. Just it just has a logic. We do have a slight theory that in a parallel universe, this was a massive hit, and when we play it, it opens up a corridor between this realm and the other.
I mean, that's the only logical explanation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have, again, no scientific proof. I'm not a doctor of physics or anything, but I have an idea. But it just has that feeling. Okay. And One More Drink, again, it has that very simple philosophy, which is... life is hard and you struggle through it. It also kind of lends itself to the feel of it, which is a sort of a Russian song, which is always very much about life is hard and it's difficult,
right?
But let's have a drink and celebrate. Yeah. Again, it kind of goes back to the Bring on the Dancing Bears thing. It's that let's put this behind us and let's just embrace the moment, because the moment is all we have. Mm-hmm. And One More Drink is that. And okay. The greatest thing for me, again, you know, I keep going back to this Herne Bay rocks thing. Well, quite frankly, when you're king of Herne Bay, they're going to take it off me in a year's time.
Right,
they're apparently, they're going to give it to somebody else. I might have something to say about this. But that proved to me, after all that time of not doing it, I got my chance to have one more drink, to have one more go, to have one more song, one more dance, one more blowout.
That's fantastic.
And there was time for it. And there is, you know, for everybody, there should always be time for that one more drink. Because right up to your last breath, you should be thinking, I can still have one more go, can't
I? Yeah, yeah.
And life is there until it's not, which is also the way dogs live, which is they just live until they don't. And that's as simple as that.
Simple as that. Yeah, I like it.
So one more drink. Yeah, it does encapture all of those things. And,
all right. Well, let's give it a listen. And listeners, as before, if you listen to our first episode, you'll know the format by now, surely. The legions of listeners to episode one. So when we come back, we're going to be in our 5-minute song challenge. So Bill will just give us a quick intro as soon as we come back from this track. And we'll crack on. And then hopefully Bill will produce some magic.
That's true.
Life is hard, you work and slave, you dig and dig towards the grave, you scratch around and fight all day, when evening comes, it's time to say. There must be time for one more drink, one more drink, one more drink. There must be time for one more drink, one more drink, one more drink. And one more song and one more song, one more song and one more song. One more dance and one more dance, one more dance and one more dance. One more drink and one more drink, one more drink and one more drink. One more drink and one more drink, one more drink and one more drink. Sure as day turns to night, sure as dark becomes the light, sure as sunshine turns to snow, you find your love, your children grow. Now surely there must be time for one more drink, one more drink, one more drink. There must be time for one more drink, one more drink, one more drink. And one more song and one more song, one more song and one more song. One more dance and one more dance, one more dance and one more dance. One more kiss and one more kiss, one more kiss and one more kiss. One more drink, one more drink, one more drink. Now I'm
Life is short. You've done your best. So now you face your final rest. And as you lie upon your bed, there's one more thing before your day. There must be time for more drink, one more drink, one more drink. There must be time for one more drink, one more drink, one more drink, and one more song, and one more song, one more song, and one more song. One more dance, and one more dance, one more dance, and one more dance, and one more kiss, and one more kiss, one more kiss, and one more kiss, and one more breath, and one more breath, and one more breath, one more breath, one more drink, and one more drink, one more drink, and 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 drink and drink.
Hello. The 5 minute song challenge.
Right, yes. I think I've had 6 minutes, to be honest. For future people, he's quite flexible on the 5 minutes.
Don't tell him that.
I thought somebody would come in and punch me at 5 minutes. All right, I'm going to do something. I've got great love of French music. And I don't know if this is very French, but the chord sequence seems very French. It's very traditional in a way. I think I'll do it in a gypsy. Should I do it in a waltz? Or should I do it in the gypsy jazz way?
I love the options.
I do love to waltz. I do think it's where humanity went wrong. In the 1950s, we chose Elvis over Jacques Brel.
Right.
And we went 4-4. We went rock and roll. And actually, whenever life gets stressful, just think of a waltz tune in your head.
It's beautiful,
and
yeah.
Everything fits together. Everything is circles in waltzes. You just roll off each other. Squares in 4-4. Everybody's jagged. What's he talking about?
I love your philosophy.
Oh, yes, I've got loads of cod philosophy. okay, so... of our chat, looking back to 40 minutes ago when we were so young and naive. Here at the end of our chat, where I recalled my thoughts and ideas and what I believe. We talked about when I was young. Oh, I could and did go on and on. We talked about what I'm doing now and how I get to have another go before I take my final bow. Let's have a key change. Here at the end of our chat, I can confirm that for all my years I still don't know now. Ambitious, the key change. I'm going to start the key change again. Here at the end of our chat, I can confirm that for all my years I still know now. But I guess at the end of it all, it'll be no clearer what it's all about. So maybe I'll just thank my friends that have been with me on the road that bends. My dogs have taught me how to think, and most of all, to remember there must be time for one more drink.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Bill. I love it.
Ah, the overam. Oh. I nearly defeated myself with overambition on the key change. But,
that's
at that point. It's being brave enough to try and fail.
Absolutely.
There's the important lesson that I was trying to impart by making that mistake.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us as well. And don't forget to do all the right things and give us a rating on the iTunes store and leave some good feedback and all that other good stuff. And that's it. Thank you very much for joining me, Bill.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute delight.
It's been wonderful. I'll catch you all next time. Thank you.
Would you take a different path, seek different ends, as you walk on the road that bends? For some are born too sweet to lie, some are born to endless nights, but to each our own bell chimes as we are born. Curious.